Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
President Donald Trump addressed the country from the White House today in a muted press conference to put a spin on the results.
It was a big day yesterday, an incredible day. And last night, the Republican Party defied history to expand our Senate majority while significantly beating expectations in the House for the midterm and midterm year. We did this in spite of a very dramatic fundraising disadvantage driven by Democrats, wealthy donors, and special interests, and very hostile media coverage, to put it mildly.
The results the president mentioned, Republicans gaining in the Senate and Democrats flipping the House, were expected. President Trump then listed the names of several Republicans who lost, blaming their losses on not embracing his politics.
You had some that decided to, let's stay away. They did very poorly.
He also went after one of his favorite targets, CNN chief White House correspondent Jim Acosta.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have—
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
So what does all this mean for Republicans in Congress and for President Trump's agenda? For that, we turn to Doug High. Doug is a Republican strategist and has worked in multiple communications positions in the House, Senate, RNC, and also served in the George W. Bush administration. Doug, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you. Thank you.
So we have a shift in power. Majority of power in the House now comes to the Democrats. That means the Democrats will set the schedule and shape the agenda. They'll also have the power to pursue investigations into the president's business relationships. What is the reaction from the Republicans been so far?
To use a dating term, it's complicated because depending on who you talk to, you're going to get very different reactions. If the House is your priority, last night was terrible. If the Senate's your priority, last night was actually pretty good. And then we've got a mixed bag with the governor's races as well. There's kind of a straw for everyone to grab at. But I would say the most significant thing is the House of Representatives, for exactly what you mentioned. Not only are the House Democrats going to investigate President Trump like he hasn't been thus far, but also his entire administration, and they'll have subpoena power. And that not only will force the administration to take its eye off the ball as it deals with countless investigations, but also runs the risk of, you know, ratcheting up the rhetoric as we've seen over the past couple years, to where if we thought that politics were divided yesterday, I think they just got a lot more so.
Well, let's talk about that, because we know that the president called Nancy Pelosi to congratulate her. We heard Nancy Pelosi, House Minority Leader, come out last night and say she was going to promise some level of bipartisanship. Is that talk, or do you really think that? It sounds like you don't think that that's really going to happen.
Well, look, this is the talk that you always have after the elections, and you know, Donald Trump also tweeted, you know, a very positive thing about Nancy Pelosi, you know, and how she should become speaker. That's not what we would have expected from Donald Trump just as recently as 24 hours ago. And I do think that there are opportunities for Trump to try and be the great negotiator that he's, you know, always told us that he is. And specifically on issues like tariffs, where he's much more aligned with Democrats on infrastructure, for instance. Most Democrats that I've talked to have thought for 2 years now that if Trump had led with bipartisan infrastructure, that would have put Democrats in a real box. My concern over the next 2 years moving forward is, and I say this having worked in House Republican politics during the Clinton impeachment, is that the investigations and the enthusiasm around them tends to take on a life of their own, and it becomes hard for leadership to really rein in the horses as much as they may want to.
And this has been a very difficult, if you will, political cycle, at least since the president has taken office. So it's been very contentious on both sides in many ways. But I'm wondering, was this a repudiation of Republicans or those that support the president, or was this something different?
In part, it certainly was. We're seeing this be more than 10 seats than were needed, and there may be a few more out there. That's significant, and also significant because we're in a place where the economy is doing particularly well, which is typically where voters react to. So if they're not reacting to this with a House turnover of 35 seats or maybe a couple more, clearly that's a referendum on the president. And then there's also the demographic divide that we've seen really only increase. And suburban areas are more Democratic today than they were 2 years ago, regardless of what state they're in. So think of like suburban Dallas or suburban Houston. And rural areas are more red. And I think one of the things that both parties should be concerned about with then is that that divide is deeper, and it's now harder for Republicans to win urban votes and for Democrats to win rural votes.
Hey, it's interesting you mention that, because I recall, and I'm sure you recall, after the 2012 election, the GOP had to do some soul searching. And one of the things they did was said, you know, we need to become more diverse. We need to start focusing on voters of color. And now we see this real hard turn. So did the GOP take anything away? Are they going to do some sort of similar autopsy, if you will, so they can prepare for 2020?
Not in the same fashion. I'll tell you, in the days after the 2012 election, I was in Richmond, Virginia with my then boss, Eric Cantor, as he was calling Republican members to say, you know, what did you see? What did you hear on the ground and so forth? And if we're talking the week after the 2012 election, I would tell you that some form of immigration reform is more likely to pass the House than isn't likely to pass the House. And as we moved day to day after that, that stopped being a top tier level of concern for pick your Republican member of Congress and their district. But it became more of a national problem. Well, that's the National Republican Party's problem. That was Mitt Romney's problem. It's not my problem in the congressional district that I represent. I think some of that attitude is still true. And also that how Trump campaigns on immigration has certainly drawn a lot of criticism. It tends to help Republicans in those areas where they need help. And if you're a rural Republican voter, you're not pushing for any form of comprehensive immigration reform. And that really then stymies Republican members.
Hmm. Doug High is a Republican and has held communications positions in the House, Senate, RNC, and served in the George W. Bush administration. And he's also a contributor for CNN. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you.